You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us, listen to the Powers That Be, wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
In the news this morning, New Jersey Governor Murphy signs a law that makes AI deepfakes illegal. New Jersey is fighting back against deceptive AI photos, videos, and audio known as deepfakes. On Wednesday, Governor Phil Murphy signed legislation that establishes civil and criminal penalties for people who produce the material. The new law was partially inspired by an incident at a high school where a student used AI to place their classmates' photos on pornographic images.
Uh-oh.
Yep. 16-year-old Francesca took her fight to lawmakers after being the target of an explicit AI deepfake image. Quote, "This law is for every woman and teen dismissed with nothing happening or just move on." 2 years ago, she and 29 other students found out that a boy at Westfield High had posted pornographic images that were not real. He was suspended for a day, but Francesca refused to settle and she went on a mission. She said, "There are boys using this technology, but there are also criminals and pedophiles and just creeps all together. So it's a bigger issue than that. Lack of laws and legislation really meant something to Francesca." This is a quote from her mother.
So there's two things here that can be discussed. I'm okay with the government, or Phil Murphy in this case, intervening and making this illegal when it comes to protecting minors, protecting females falsely with guys. You know, this is... You want to call it boys being boys, you want to call it disgusting, call it what you will. It should be protected. I have daughters. If my daughters were 16 in high school, I wouldn't want some 18-year-old senior doctoring images of them that looks like porn and then having their reputation smeared and having their heart broke and coming home crying, hysterical, all of that. But it does, I feel like, I always say, does it create a slippery slope? Because if you do this... Then where do you draw the line with the government? Is the government going to allow or not allow deep fakes, AI on social media, misinformation, disinformation? Mm-hmm. Even though I don't like it, even though it's kind of hard to figure out in this day and age what's authentic and what's not. God knows I've sent a clip or two or 12 to Stalker over the last 2 years and he said, "Bro, it's fake. Stop looking at Twitter."
Yeah.
But like, that's where I feel like as an adult, it should be up to us. I don't want the government telling me what can be posted on social media and what's real and what's not. I think that creates, a state-run media, and I don't want to live in that world.
Yeah, it is unfortunate because this technology is only getting better.
Well, what's weird is that, you know, not to be crude, but, you know, back in the day, back in the 90s when I was in high school and, you know, stuff, there would be Polaroids that may or may not have been passed around of females in classes that, you know, their male partners may have taken. But
Polaroids.
What's weird now is that we knew that at the time that was real. Mm-hmm. Now you don't. Now you have no idea if it's real. Right. You know what I mean? Which is way scarier, I think.
Well, back in the day, you would take the Polaroid of the girl's body or head and then cut something out of like a Playboy magazine, splice them and tape them together, and pass them around in the cafeteria.
But that was obvious. That was obvious. Right. Like, you could be
it was a fake. It was just not a deep fake.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You could tell the difference. Now these guys, these, you know, criminals or whatever, are considered graphic artists. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about it, they're just creating art, and art should be protected, right?
Well,
I don't know.
And also with the AI deepfakes on voice, where you see a video posted and the voice and the content of what's being said is doctored or altered, whether it's a politician. Hell, in all honesty, with this show, with this station, in today's world of technology, you can go back and get our show on YouTube. You can get a podcast. You can get it off of the app. I mean, if somebody's bright enough, they could manufacture stuff that I never said, put it on social media and try to cancel me.
Or
in theory,
or they could just take stuff you've said.
Yes,
put it on social media and try and cancel you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. They're doing this a lot with like dead relatives.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like they'll have some sort of like a doctored, you know, voice of them from, you know, their previous recordings and then play something like, I miss you, your grandma misses you, or whatever.
Yeah.
It's really creepy, but it's also kind of cool.
Yeah.
Moving on, suspect wanted in Fishtown assaults, including inappropriately touching a child.
Oh, boy.
Philadelphia police say. A 29-year-old man is wanted on incident assault charges in Fishtown, including inappropriately touching a child last week. Noel Vargas, 29, is wanted by the Special Victims Unit on two counts of indecent assault, simple assault, and harassment charges for two separate incidents, police said on Wednesday. Police said Vargas has a dark beard and is 5'6" tall. The first incident happened on March 25th, around 9:30 p.m. on the 1500 block of Palmer Street. Police said a 36-year-old woman was placing her son in the back seat of her car when the man, allegedly Vargas, pinched her buttocks before fleeing northbound on Memphis Street. 3 days later, on March 28th, police said another incident allegedly involving Vargas happened on the 1500 block of East Montgomery Avenue, which is right around the corner from the 1500 block of Palmer Street. In this incident, a 13-year-old girl said Vargas approached her and grabbed her from behind in a bear hug at around 8 a.m., police say. She then screamed and Vargas fled the scene, police said. Vargas was wearing a black and white hoodie with black jogging pants during the incident. People in the neighborhood said they've been extra vigilant.
Yes, we got to be vigilant in this day and age with these little pedophiles and perverts and creeps out there. Dawn sees a pedophile around every corner, and Soccer wants to give him the firing squad.
Yeah, absolutely. you touch a child in any sort of aspect like that,
right,
and it's
time to die.
It's immediate death.
Yeah.
Immediate death or castration. I'd be fine with either one as long as I could be the one with the
conduct it
with the sword.
Oh, jeez,
the rusty sword.
That's graphic.
Rusty sword.
You know what I mean? Just flop it out on the table. Time to go.
Time to go.
The ball's executioner.
Yeah. Boom.
Greg Stalker. Three parents are facing charges after an all-out brawl at a youth hockey tournament in Egg Harbor Township, New Jersey. This is a cute video. I enjoyed watching it. Several parents are now facing charges in connection with a brawl at a kids' hockey tournament in South Jersey. Police said the fight first broke out between players, and moments later, many parents cleared the stands and joined in.
What's happening?
Have you guys noticed that?
Yes.
Whether it's the track meet that we discussed with competitor against competitor, we've seen parents on basketball courts.
Yeah.
Hockey now. I mean, I know it's winter sports, spring championship season now, but my God.
It's the parents. They get too involved in their kids' sports. Just like, you know, I get it, but your little Johnny's not going to get a scholarship. Don't worry. You know what I mean? Like, just let them have
that serious.
Yeah. Let them have some fun. Let them have some camaraderie and have some exercise and go home and eat dinner.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's so hard about this.
Yep. And then these dads want to come out there and fight either the coach, fight the ref, fight the kid that actually, quote, wronged his kid or her kid. It's chaos.
I gotta admit, guys, it's my generation. What are we doing? We were the original latchkey generation. You know, like, our parents worked, they had no idea where we were. You know, like that was our generation, and we've overcompensated with our children.
I know.
Like, we should be raising them the way we were raised.
We went from a generation where Stalker would come home from school and eat Pop-Tarts for 2 hours. Nobody knew what he was doing. To now, all of a sudden, you know, we've got these parents that are jumping down everybody's throat instantaneously.
Yeah.
Do you think it's actually getting worse, or do you think it's just kind of like reporter bias because everybody has a camera and you can just
I always try not to be prisoner of the moment and realize that everything is captured in this technology world we live in.
Yeah.
But I do think there is a sensitivity now.
I do too.
Okay.
Because we have these helicopter parents that something happens to their little precious child and they're like, oh, I'm going to fight you. I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
Let Johnny get some scuffs and bruises and let him handle it himself.
Mm-hmm.
The end.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, you're going to end up handicapping them for life.
Yes, yes, stop with the parents.
Don't cripple them.
Don't even go to their matches or games, whatever.
Go to the bar.
Yeah, don't support them at all.
I'll meet you at the bar. We'll get some
neglect
drinks.
Neglect your children. That's,
come on, raise them like we did at Gen X. Come on, how dare you?
Stream their game on your phone.
You play baseball, daddy will be down at the bar.
Though. Yeah, having a couple of pops.
The good old days.
Yeah.
All right, you're done with your
Yep, that's
news?
It. Okay. That's it for 7 a.m.
Sounds good. Thank you very much, mm-hmm. Anna. We will come back and get into the Nashville Police Report, and then Sean Farish joins us in just about 13 minutes, assuming he hasn't been swept away in bad weather. Will Farish join us? Will he be in Jim Cantore Weather Channel mode? We will find out in 13 minutes. Kale and Company, Nick, Anna, and Greg, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
DSW's semi-annual sale starts now. Twice a year, tons of deals, going fast. It's all or nothing. A designer shoe warehouse will give you something to brag about. Like 40% off clearance in all DSW stores, or an extra 10% off clearance at DSW.com. Don't sleep on these savings. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. DSW, let us surprise you.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
I follow the weather very closely. I follow it so closely, by the way. Nobody ever... You know, you look at it, right? You look at these storms, it's blowing harder than somebody we know.
Oh,
we're not going to say it now, right? Right off the bat, we're making silly jokes.
Silly.
I said, hey, look, it looks like it wasn't going to come here. And the next thing I know, going to bed, I'm looking at updated models, and I'm like, oh, all right, well, it is going to come here. So I woke up at around 5 o'clock, and there were tornado warnings again, to, 20 miles away. But thankfully, they dissipated. And so we're just dealing with some loud thunder. So that's all.
Every time you go to sleep, something terrible possibly or does happen.
It's insane. I can't sleep anymore.
No.
I went to sleep July 13th. I passed out. A friend of mine was visiting July 13th. We took him to the airport. I come home. I pass out. My wife's waking me up. Sean, Trump just got shot. I'm like, what are you talking about? What? how do you wake me up like that? You know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now. I'm asleep on the couch, it was a long, 30-minute nap. What are we doing? Sean, there's cops in the yards with guns. I'm like, oh, okay, great. We're being swatted. Good morning. What is going on here?
Yep.
I can't go to sleep. The tornadoes are coming.
We're going to have to keep you awake 24/7. We'll have to find a way to preserve you.
Before we get to what I know you want to talk about here, Phil, can you pull up cut 30? So this is to see what Sean's dealing with down there in the Tennessee area. This was a tornado spotted in Lake City, Arkansas. Look at this video. Watch this video roll, Phil. Look at that.
Oh.
Look at that video.
Oh,
and look at the horizontal rain, the wind, all the rotation inside this cell.
Man.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's not coming your way.
It makes me nervous speed pauses like that.
Just cross the road right there.
And look, you can see how the street signs as they start to, just cross the road.
I love weather.
How fast is this tornado moving?
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
50 miles an hour?
Wow.
40.
40.
Look at that. Oof.
So, Farish, you were, now you had lived in Spring Hill you moved to Murfreesboro, and it looks like Spring Hill was the danger zone.
Spring Hill, like probably right where we lived, got rocked this morning. I was watching it on the radar. I have a friend, a couple of friends who were over there who said it was pretty nasty. I love the weather, and I always have loved the weather. Yeah. It's one of my, like, I'm a human barometer, you know. I could walk out and be like, all right, it's gonna be bad out here today, you know.
What's your favorite type of natural disaster? Do you have one?
Stacey Abrams.
Oh, okay.
That's an unnatural disaster. There's nothing natural about the beast of the Southeast. Okay. I have always, like, I watched Storm Chasers growing up, like Reed Timmer and all that, and now, like, everyone's you know, there's a lot of guys out there. Ryan Hall, and Reed is still doing his thing, and he's a maniac, and there's just so many people. I love extreme weather. Hurricane season, I'm like a geek, you know. It's it's wild. So, but and then in New York we had the snow, and I used to just, that was an excuse for me to drink and shovel snow, you know. You hide the beer on the driveway, and then while you're shoveling you find it, well, and you eggs. Drink it,
yeah,
and by the end, yeah, it's like an Easter egg hunt, except the eggs do a little, you know, more than usual eggs.
Now, this is a fascinating conversation, because Greg and Sean both are obsessed with weather.
Yep.
My wife is obviously, I guess, listening. She says, I miss tornadoes too.
Because miss them.
She misses them.
I see. Now here's the thing.
Yeah.
I love watching them come on, like, the radar, and, like, yes. I would love to chase a few one day.
Yes.
But when they keep coming over the house, or like when they're coming close.
Amen.
You know, we just bought this house. Yeah. I'm kind of like, eh. Yeah, see, you know, my 20 miles north, that's fine.
Yeah, my daughters, having lived there for 4.5 years, you know, they're obsessed with them. Every time there's a thunderstorm coming, even in Pennsylvania, now that we're back in PA, they start to get a little bit of anxiety in them. I'm not interested in the weather. I you know, like, I just want good weather. I don't panic when bad weather comes.
Nobody's perfect.
Anna, are you team fascination weather, or are you,
oh, you
more
gotta
like,
be. I mean, I live in Florida. I live in Tampa on the,
well, you,
the Gulf of,
well,
America.
Well, you have to deal
so
with
you
it,
have
yes.
To be,
but are you fascinated by it? Like, do you track all these storms?
No, not really.
Okay.
My boyfriend does. Boyfriend is Mr. Weatherman. But for me, there is kind of an excitement in Florida. When a hurricane, like during when we got the Helene, and then we got hit with Milton like 2 weeks later, you know, people were stressed out, but you could just tell that they were low key really excited, because everybody just wants to see how bad this can get.
Yeah, see,
how
like,
bad
did
is
you
this
see the guy
get?
Anna who strapped his house down to the ground? Did you see that guy?
No,
put,
I did,
like,
not.
Like massive industrial ratchet straps.
Oh yes, ratchet, yes.
No, I didn't.
He put the Jasmine Crockett straps over his house and ratcheted the house down, right? And
did it work?
Apparently he's from apparently, so everyone was laughing at him. Oh, what's gonna happen?
Wow.
And his house stayed. Now everybody else's house on the block stayed, but you cannot tell me that that did not save that. Now this guy was from apparently Puerto Rico, right? Floating island of garbage, right? apparently he lost a roof in Puerto Rico from a hurricane, so he was like, we're never going to go through that again, and he strapped the house, he threw the jasmine straps over the top, connected them to these things in the, and ratcheted the house into the ground, and I think the guy is a national hero. Yeah. So
unbelievable.
Amazing.
Digital Lava on the YouTube chat says Nick has no interest except drinking, gambling, and sports.
I mean, I'll give you the perfect example last night.
Those are hobbies.
I'm out front. Dog's doing his business. My wife has to go to pick up the girls at dance at 7:45. She goes, oh, it's cold out. I said, yeah. It's April 2nd. The weather in Pennsylvania on April 2nd, it sucks. It's 50. It's dreary. Yeah. It rains. I said, this is why I don't even golf until the third week of April anymore, because we're not out of the woods yet.
Yeah.
We still have this goofy, stupid weather.
We get that taste of 80 degrees a couple weeks ago. And we're like, well, winter's over. Let's get out the shorts and
not so fast.
Yeah.
It was 82 degrees here at midnight last night. And I was like, all right, things are about to get wild.
Yeah.
You know, when it's that warm that late at this point in time in the year, you're like, all right. You know, there was high. This is the geek mode. So just bear with
this,
me. There's a high pressure system over the Bahamas.
Yeah.
All right. And that was supposed to keep everything a little bit further west. And apparently that high weakened last night. So everything came a little bit further east. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, okay, so we're going to get something. So we're still waiting on it to show up here, but it's been lightning, it's been thunder, but the tornado warnings up until now, it seems to have kind of They've all faded away. So that's pretty good. We got severe thunderstorm warnings, but no tornadoes right now. So
well, your connection's great. So if you were wondering,
the most beautiful, it's a beautiful connection.
It is.
All right, we'll
nobody's
get to
ever connected like this before. Believe me.
I want to get your thoughts on the tariffs coming up, and we'll do that in the cut sheet because I'm sure Greg's got more Trump clips from Liberation Day yesterday. But a perfect segue here. As I left Nashville in the summer of 2022 to come back home for this job, that was roughly around the time where Sean Farish left Long Island, New York, to move to Nashville. And then, as my wife and girls were still down there, Nashville in 2023 had the Coventry Christian School shooter, the transgendered shooter, as you remember, or maybe you don't, Audrey Hale. Well, yesterday, the police department, Nashville Metro Police, officially released the final report. I've got a couple of stories here. This is just amazing. So I've got a copy from the Tennessee Star, which is the counter to the Tennessean, which is owned and operated by the USA Today. So you kind of have
Tennessee Star, by the way. I got to tell you, Michael Patrick Leahy, he's a stand-up guy. I love him.
They have a lot of great investigative reporters down there, by the way, that do a lot of really good digging. Yep.
Really great operation, the Star.
Yep. Tom Papert wrote this story. I've got a copy from the Post. Let me give you the Post first, the New York Post. The transgender school shooter who gunned down 9 people in an attack on the Covenant School in Nashville 2023 picked her target because she feared being overpowered and thought that little kids at the school couldn't stop her, a disturbing report from police shows. The report also found that Hale was motivated by her own mental illness and a desire for fame. Hale specifically chose the Covenant School to attack because she attended it as a child herself and had happy memories from her time there. So you shoot it up. She also believed the school's religious affiliation would further make her sickening crime even more famous. Now you get to the Tennessee Star report, and I'll give you just a couple of sentences here. Despite needing more than 2 years to complete its investigation, Metro Nashville Police Department confirmed that Hale acted alone during the attack itself. In total, the department found that Hale's parents, mental health providers, and the firearm retailers who sold her weapons bore no responsibility and had no prior knowledge of Hale's plans. Of note, MNPD did not, I'm going to repeat this, did not use the word transgender in its report a single time. Hale identified, gender identified, quote, as male and used he/him as preferred pronouns and made statements about wanting to transition genders. Sean, let me start with you. It's remarkable to me. Here's the way I view this whole trans thing. I don't think it's natural. I don't think it's normal. I think it is a mental health issue. And the left and the mainstream media, if you admit that you have a mental health issue, like Audrey Hale apparently did in her diaries and manifestos, why are you so afraid to then report the self-admitted facts of mental health as an illness? And if you are not covering this element of it, to me, you're trying to protect because you believe that it's a, you know, Audrey Hale is part of a marginalized community under attack. My whole thing is, well, then you're confirming my analysis that there is a mental health issue. It's amazing to me in this day and age when there's a shooter, we know everything about the shooter within 5 minutes, unless it's somebody in the transgender community, or unless it's Thomas Matthew Crooks in Butler, PA, or Ryan Wesley Ruth at the golf course. When I don't get the information from the mainstream media, my sniffer immediately gets activated, and I suspect BS. Your thoughts on this story?
Well, I mean, this is what happened in the spring of 2023, or the winter. It was the Valentine's Day, I think, of 2023. I mean, we had been in Nashville for maybe a month when this happened, and it was, you know, not too far from where we were living at the time. We found out that it was a transgender shooter, and you know, this is not me saying that everybody who's transgender is going to wind up shooting up a school.
No.
But this is saying that when you're on, whether you're on those medications or not, right, something's not right in your brain. I don't mean to say it to be funny, but it's the truth. You know, I was sitting here prepping a show the other night, and I had the misfortune of seeing Caitlyn Jenner on my screen, across Bruce Jenner, I'm sorry, on my screen. And I'm like, can we please stop giving this freak show airtime? This guy is a maniac, okay? Everyone's like, no, he's on our side. You don't understand. He supports Trump. I'm like, and what? He wears a dress every day and thinks he's a woman. Why are we giving this guy any legitimacy whatsoever? The boy doesn't like men and women's sports. Like, did he give back his Woman of the Year award yet? If he hasn't, he doesn't deserve to be in front of any camera except his own. So I'm sitting here going, we as a society, both sides, because we have adopted the old leftist mantra of it's okay when we do it. Newsflash, it isn't, okay? If you're a male and you're, you know, obviously born a male because you can't change, you will never. I don't care how many dresses you wear. I don't care what you chop off. I don't care what you put on. I don't care. I don't care any of it. I don't care how you feel. You will never be a woman. So we need to stop looking. Well, we just want to be nice. You know what the nice thing to do with those people is? Small room, big needle, long nap, and get them the help that they need. Because this is ridiculous now. And folks on our side looking at it, well, you know, he votes for Trump, so let's give him a pass. Well, you know, did you maybe think that the fact that we started to say, well, it's okay when Caitlyn Jenner, look at the timeline. Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner, whatever you want to refer to that freak show as, started coming around, talk about, oh, yeah, I'm this, but I understand all these other issues. All of a sudden, now we're cozy with this guy. And then there's the rise of it on the left. They're like, well, look, conservatives love it. We could just now jam it down everybody's throats. I mean, it is to me. And then you see what happened in Nashville and what we had dealt with in New York with these communities. There was a guy on Long Island who was like the father of five trans children. And I looked at him and I said, that's impossible. That's literally you have a better chance of winning the lottery.
That's true.
You must have screwed up. I used to refer to him on our local podcast as Long Island's least favorite failed father. He hated that. It's the truth. You can't have five trans kids without telling me you're telling your kids to be trans in the house.
Yeah.
You know, it came down to moms and dads, they would go to baseball practice, softball practice. I got my girl the new glove. I got my son the new bat. He's got a new, you know, visor. He's got the new sunglasses in the eye. Now it's like, yeah, I chopped my girl's breasts off at 12. Look at me. Social points. That's what it turned into. It was like a woke contest. It was and look what it has created.
Yeah.
Look at some of these freaks that are keying Teslas across the country. These people that are showing up in women's restrooms, you know, and you see something going on and you're like, hey, you know, I've never seen Charlie stand up and salute with a woman before like that. Like, that's very strange. You know, like and look at the drugs you're putting these people on. They're deranged people who need help. We shouldn't be affirming these people's insanity. You have an anorexic friend who's like rail thin and they're like, I'm huge. I'm going to stop eating. You're like, no, you need to eat. That's insane. You have dysmorphia. You can't take a dude or a woman and listen to them say, I'm not this gender, and just applaud them and be like, I'm with you. I support. Yeah. No, you're a bad friend. Look what it's doing to people.
Yeah.
Look what it's doing. Look what it did to Hale. Well, it's just
That's the indoctrination aspect that I think is paramount here. And here's Anna, I want to get your thoughts on this. Yeah. So in this report from the police, the Covenant as the they identified three reasons as to why Audrey Hale did what she did. And number three is the one that really stands out, but I'll give you the first two. Number one, the Covenant was more geographically isolated than Crestwell Middle School, which she felt would give her more time to kill. Number two, with the Covenant being a private Christian school, she would receive more notoriety. And then number three, due to the student body at Crestwell Middle School being predominantly black, she was afraid she would be seen as a racist.
She didn't want to be a racist.
Which would affect how much control she had over the narrative after her death and allow others to state her motive behind the attack. Now, you're sick if you're sitting there thinking you're going to shoot up a school. But you're next level sick, Anna, if you're saying, well, if I'm going to do it, I better not do it to a predominantly black school because I don't want to be labeled racist. You're a psycho regardless of what gender you shoot up or race. Right.
I mean, this person clearly has a broken brain. And as far as I'm aware, I think gender dysphoria is still in might be the DSM-5 or 6. So people still consider it a mental disorder. And I'll be honest, probably about 10 years ago, you know, I felt a tremendous sympathy for people who had this horrible affliction where they felt like they were, you know, born in the wrong body. But that's when it was, you know, one in a million people. Now every third child is transgender, which obviously just can't be the case. They, I think it's really sick what the community has done, the woke community has done, where they celebrate this and they encourage this sort of thing. And I can kind of speak to this because a couple weeks ago I ventured across the country to Portland, Oregon for the first time to visit some family.
One and two in Portland are trans.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and so it's really funny because on my way there I was thinking, you know, it's probably not as bad as the media hypes it up to be. And I'm like, dude, I was raised in a somewhat liberal home, you know, a Jew from San Diego. I've been to San Francisco, you know, I've been to Denver, I've been to New York. I've seen all these like liberal cities. I have a lot of friends that are very liberal. We just don't talk politics. but when I went to Portland, I was like, oh, dude, this is as advertised. Right? Portland is really in a league of its own. I've never seen that before. And like, we have a giant, you know, gay, LGBT, whatever community in St. Pete, which is adjacent to Tampa. And I was just thinking about all the like vanilla hot gay guys would never move to Portland because everyone is just so gross. Everyone is just so it is like the ugliest. I am like maybe a Tampa 5. I'm a Portland 9. So that was kind of cool.
I'm a Portland 9.
Other than that.
Anna, you said you're from like a Jewish home, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
So Candace Owens told me that you guys control the weather. Can you guys make it stop here?
I'll do what I can. I'll talk to my peeps.
Can you put in a good word for
me
or something?
See if the Heebs can kind of, you know, dial. Sorry about that.
Candace and some of these people were, you know, apparently... She seems nice, Candace. I don't know what
I thought we were, you know, on the same team, but I do listen to a lot of what Candace says just because, you know, I'm curious what people think. So
control the weather,
yeah.
Huh?
Well, yeah.
Can you turn it off?
I didn't know that.
Jeez. 855-839-1210. We're gonna continue on the other side. It is a Thursday edition of the Cut Sheet. Nick Kale, Anna Hummel, Sean Farish, Greg Stocker. We get it rolling on the other side. Stay right there.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
There was a guy asking the pharmacist what number booster is currently available. He was there to pick up a prescription, and he says, hey, just out of curiosity, and I don't know if he was anti-vaccine or he really wanted to get like the 37th shot or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm over there by the rolls and the bagels, and I'm kind of eavesdropping a little bit. And the pharmacist says it's number 9 now.
The ninth one.
Yeah. So they're almost going to catch up to the iPhone.
Wow.
You know, Apple's got the iPhone 16 out, so you can get maybe like the iPhone 16 and your 17th booster.
Mm. What variant are we on, by chance?
The booster may actually work better than the iPhone, so we'll see. I'm an Android purist, so sorry.
By the way, real quick before we get to the cut sheet, I've had a theory for a long time that once you pay your iPhone off and you no longer owe AT&T or Verizon any money on it, that your phone all of a sudden starts to freak out and crap out more frequently than it used to.
They're made to.
Well, that's because they're 2-year lifespan.
Yes. Sean is 100% right.
So it's set up to force you to buy a new one.
100%.
Okay. So I'm not crazy. That's not a conspiracy theory.
No.
Okay.
Just business.
Exactly. China. China knows what they're doing.
China. We love it. No, see, China's terrible. We're paying a lot of tariffs. We're taxing every wonton that comes into this country.
Without further ado, 751, let's get down to what's on the cut sheet.
What's on the cut sheet?
Oh, yeah. What's on the cut sheet on this Thursday, sponsored by Rita's Italian Ice. Get ready for a burst of bold, fruity flavor. Introducing Rita's new Skittles Ice. Try it in gelati or ice blender. Add more fun with the crunchy new Skittles pop topping. Stop by Rita's today. Thank you, Rita's, for sponsoring the ever important. I just hit my backdrop.
Rejected.
It rejected. I was the ever important Thursday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. Okay. Let's get to the big story of the day, which is the Trump tariffs. Luckily, we have the 47th president.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's down there in the bottom right corner of our screen.
He looks tremendous today.
He does. All right. Let's start with his announcement of the tariffs yesterday. Roll this.
In Sleepy Joe Biden's last year in office, the United States hemorrhaged 100,000 manufacturing jobs, and the number was going through the roof at levels never seen before. And our trade deficit reached a record $1.2 trillion, which is unheard of. Since the beginning of NAFTA, the worst trade deal ever made. It was a horror show. I was able to determine it. They all said you'd never be able to get it out. We had to get approval from Congress to get it terminated. We had to live with that deal. It was the worst deal, worst trade deal ever made by far. But since the very beginning of NAFTA, our country lost 90,000 factories. Think of what that is, 90,000. Think about putting a map up and putting tax on it. You wouldn't have enough room. 90,000. I said, is that possible? We had it checked four different times, and it was actually somewhat higher than that. And 5 million manufacturing jobs were lost while racking up trade deficits of $19 trillion. That was the worst trade deal ever made. As a result of these gigantic losses, foreign nations now own $26 trillion more of American assets than the Americans own of their own foreign assets or other foreign assets.
Wow.
So, Sean, if you're tracking, Trump wants to seal the border to make us more safe from violent illegal criminals. Trump's the bad guy. Trump wants to stop the wars across the planet and have universal peace. He's the bad guy. Trump wants to bring in money and get our economy to where it needs to be by giving out reciprocal tariffs. And that's an American thing to do, an American first agenda. And he's the bad guy. You pick up on a theme here?
Yeah, orange man bad. And even the Senate did it. And even the guy I agree with on basically 99% of all issues, Rand Paul, is for some reason diametrically opposed to this. Yeah. And look, I get it. Like, he's probably a free trade purist, but we're not in a free trade environment right now. Mm-hmm. If we're being tariffed by other countries, I get it. Everyone, things are going to get more expensive. Thank you. I understand. Well, where were you the last 4 years, by the way? All the people on the left who are upset with things getting more expensive were fine when they got more expensive a couple years ago when Joe Biden tanked the supply chain. COVID restrictions made it impossible to move things around the world. Your war on fossil fuels increased the cost on everything. Keeping domestic energy at bay while the war in Ukraine influenced price hikes all around the world because of the cost of petroleum, and nobody seemed to care. Now they care because America is getting putting reciprocal tariffs in place, so the rest of the world is allowed to tariff the United States of America. But when the United States of America decides to level the playing field and tariff them back, now the rest of the world is the victim? I don't think so. No. So I happen to be most excited about this particular policy. And because of Trump's vision to eventually replace or offset some of the income tax with the revenue generated from tariffs, is it going to happen right away? No, I understand that. We got to get out of that TikTok, Instagram Reels mindset of 90 seconds or bust, right?
Yeah,
I mean, this
right.
is going to take time.
Yeah.
But I am fine with our president standing up to the rest of the world and saying, OK, you've been taking advantage of us at whatever rate it is, 30%, 40%, in some cases, 93%, and on some products, hundreds of percents, right? It's time for us to level the playing field. And if you don't want a tariff on your stuff, drop the tariffs on our stuff. That's what fairness looks like. Mm-hmm. I have no problem with that. I'm excited about it.
I thought the left was the party of fairness, diversity, equity, inclusion. And I know, Sean, you're in a tax-free state as well at the state level. But Anna, I'm super jealous. You're in Florida, which is my retirement destination,
right?
20 years from now, unless I drop dead of a heart attack before then. and you're going to be, potentially, you're already in a state with no state income tax.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine what it would be like if we actually do get to the point, and I don't know that we ever will, but we'll play along. It's radio. Mm-hmm. Imagine not having a federal income tax not paying state income tax.
No more turbo tax for me.
No.
Yeah, no, it's funny. I actually wrote down exactly what you said. The party that is just obsessed with affirmative action and equity and leveling the playing field, all these catchphrases you hear all the time, suddenly has a problem with us leveling the playing field on the global economic market. So it's interesting to say. But he, like Sean said, orange man bad, if he reversed all all of these executive orders and went back to the way it was, these people would scream and shriek just like they did before. Right. They would just find a problem. It's just the formula is whatever he does is bad and we need to fight it, even if it's in their best interest. Yeah. They don't care.
No.
They don't
care. Look at Tesla. EVs.
Yes. I know. The people that are obsessed with climate change. Yeah, like, it's crazy.
Trump, okay. you played this earlier, Nick, but Trump pulled out his reciprocal tariff chart.
I wanted to
put this up there for the late risers out there. Roll this, Phil.
I mean, it looks like a McDonald's dollar menu.
If you look at that, China, first row.
Can we just pause it real quick?
He sounds just like Sean.
He sounds just like Sean.
He does.
Just pause it and leave it up there. I mean, all right, Big Mac, $7.99, 842 calories. That's what I feel like I'm looking at right there.
That's not the extra value menu. This value is horrible, right? We're gonna do so well. We're bringing back the $5 meal deal. We're gonna do it. I threatened to bomb Ronald McDonald. He said, "Sir, please don't do that."
All right, let's do it.
Sure.
Let's keep rolling here.
Charged to the USA, including currency manipulation and trade barriers. So 67%, I think you can, for the most part, see it. Those with good eyes, with bad eyes. We didn't want to bring, it's very windy out here. We didn't want to bring out the big charts because it had no chance of standing. Fortunately, we came armed with a little smaller chart. So 67%, so we're going to be charging a discounted reciprocal tariff of 34%. I think, in other words, they charge us, we charge them, we charge them less. So how can anybody be upset? They will be, because we never charge anybody anything. But now we're going to charge. European Union, they're very tough, very, very tough traders. You know, you think of European Union, very friendly. They rip us off. It's so sad to see. It's so pathetic. 39%, we're going to charge them 20%, so we're charging them essentially half. Vietnam, great negotiators, great people. They like me, I like them. The problem is they charge us 90%. We're going to charge them 46% tariff. Taiwan, where they took all of our computer chips and semiconductors. We used to be the king, right? We were everything. We had all of it. Now we have almost none of it, except the biggest company is coming in. We're going to end up with almost 40%. Lee Zeldin's working to get their approvals. And it's an amazing company. Mr. Wei, of one of the great companies of the world, actually. They're coming in from Taiwan, and they're going to build one of the biggest plants in the world, maybe the biggest for that. But 64%, we're going to charge them 32%. Japan, very, very tough. Great people. And again, I don't blame the people for doing it. I think they're very smart in doing it. I blame the people that sat right in that Oval Office right over there.
Yeah. So it's just because this is a long clip.
Mm-hmm.
Japan 26%, South Korea 25%, United Kingdom 10%, and Israel 17%.
Yeah, if you follow Trump's rapid response 47 feed on X, it's the official rapid response account of the Trump 47 White House. They posted the entire, it's 8 different screenshots in a tweet 14 hours ago, and it gives you every single nation with every single percentage. I actually added it up during that clip. There's about 170 nations that were slapped with a tariff yesterday. It pretty much covers the globe.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go.
That means everybody's been taking advantage of us.
Yep.
Yes.
That's what it means.
Correct.
Sean, you mentioned Rand Paul. I'm going to go to 24 here because we're going to get some reaction to it from Rand Paul and then from the Treasury Secretary as well.
Has RuPaul weighed in on this yet?
Rand Paul said this. Phil, can you start this 8 seconds? Oh, you did already. Okay, I see.
Also led to political decimation in McKinley, famously put tariffs on in 1890. They lost 50% of their seats in the next election. When Hart Smoot put on their tariff in the early 1930s, we lost the House and the Senate for 60 years. So they're not only bad economically, they're bad politically.
Your response to that.
Look, there you go.
All right, so that was the Rand Paul clip. So I'm with you, Sean. I agree with Rand Paul on a lot of things. He came late to the party on the Trump endorsement. Not really sure what that's about. Love the way he grilled Fauci in those hearings. And you don't need to be an economics major to have an opinion on the positives or the negatives of tariffs.
Let me just say this. I spoke to him because we had him here in town.
That's right, for Pints and Politics,
yeah,
right?
Right before the election in April, before the election. He was a Bobby Kennedy guy.
Right.
And I don't think it was until Bobby Kennedy endorsed Trump that Rand Paul came over.
Correct. So, when he came out and did that, was it Phoenix when Bobby came out to There Goes My Hero
Tucson,
from Foo Fighters?
Like
yeah, or Arizona. Yeah. So, I mean, like, I get it. And, you know, you don't have to be an expert on this. But, you know, Rand Paul, I'd like to know. I mean, I know he's a super, super fiscal conservative. But he's also, wasn't he an eye doctor? I think he's some sort of doctor before
he's a physician.
He's a physician, yeah. Mm, and now he's in politics. Yeah. So I don't understand why he's so against it unless he feels like his fiscal conservatism doesn't allow him to get on board with this. But when you look at the cost of what we're paying for products, I would say, well, don't you want to pay less as somebody who's fiscally conservative? What I mean, I know there's a risk here, but you know, the first administration, remember Trump had tariffs in place, Sean, in 2018 and 2019, and it did not kill the economy.
No, and it wasn't to this extent. I think for Rand Paul, I think it's that like libertarian streak in him, which this is why I like him.
Sure.
Right? I mean, literally 99%. I don't really care if he endorsed Trump or not. That doesn't matter to me. It's just, you know, 99%. I bet you we sit down, we agree on upwards of 90% of things. I mean, I read his book, Taking a Stand. I love his father. I think if we had more people in the House and the Senate like Rand Paul, we wouldn't be in $36 trillion of debt. So from that aspect, I think people like Rand are great. I just this take that he has about tariffs, it bothers me because I think it's that, like I said, libertarian streak in him that he wants free trade. Right. But it's not the way it is right now. It's not free. We are being charged and the rest of the world in a lot of aspects is not being charged. So it's not free and it's not fair. Nothing is fair or free about the current situation. So what Trump is trying to do is say, all right, we're going to start charging you to make you drop your charges. And then if you drop yours, we'll drop ours and we will have free trade. And so it's like, I think here's what I think it is too about Rand. I think Kentucky bourbon is a big issue.
Yeah.
And he's obviously a senator from Kentucky. there's probably a lot of constituents there who are upset or feel like they're going to feel it. Canada has already come out and said, oh, we're not going to drink your bourbon. OK, fine. Have fun with whatever it is. Maple syrup up there that you drink. It's wonderful.
Molson.
You know, Doug Ford, he looks like he has a lot of maple syrup. You look at him, right? You look at Doug Ford. He looks like he eats a lot of maple syrup. He looks like he eats a lot of everything.
Sure.
But yeah, this one, it upsets me with Rand. Again, I still have a lot of respect for him. I would still love to shake his hand one day. But This take is I diametrically disagree with this guy.
Yeah.
Right now.
You know, you think about this, Anna, when we lived through the Biden administration and the cost of everything, you know, skyrocketed, we had to pivot as consumers, right? When egg prices soared up to $6 for
we had to start stealing them.
We had to start stealing them, or eating generic Bobo
eggs.
That's
why they stole the tuna.
Hey, by the way, Friday's coming up, Sean. We might have a tuna heist tomorrow in the news, so stay tuned. But, like, I mean, you know, we talk about, let's just go with the automobile industry. Cars, domestic, foreign, they're going to go up. Well, what if you're 24 months into a 60-month lease? You're not in the market for a car for the next 3 years anyway. Mm-hmm. That doesn't affect you. If avocados become more expensive and you're a homemade guacamole person, well, then you pivot to something else. It's not like there's not other options out there where there's going to be products that won't be hit with a price increase. They make this sound like this is just some sweeping, universal, every single thing that you could possibly buy is going to skyrocket. It's not the case.
And it's subject to change, right? Like, this might force people to come back to the negotiating table. So nothing is really set in stone.
No.
But I appreciate a healthy debate. You know, it seems like Rand Paul is a free trade purist. But, you know, like Sean alluded to, that the system is rigged. So it's not fair from the get. And perhaps Rand is kind of concerned that it might get a little bit worse before it gets better, that we kind of talked about at the beginning of the show, because it may increase inflation, prices may go up, you know, there might be a transition period, hate to use that word, but it fits, it may get worse before it gets better. So perhaps that's what he's alluding to. But again, healthy debate. I'm glad that he comes out if he doesn't agree, and we can kind of talk about it in a civil fashion and, you know, say what we think is best.
There you go.
Cut 26 here, Phil. Trump Treasury Secretary was on the who is this? I guess Ingram's. No.
Was it Scott Bessent?
Yeah, with Brett Baer last night. Treasury Secretary warns tariff countries not to retaliate. Roll this.
We showed the markets before, but if you saw the post-market reaction, it was kind of down across the board.
Kind of.
You know, people are looking at their 401ks, and they worry about it. What do you say to them today?
Brett, I say that what we are doing is we're setting the stage for long-term economic growth, that we were on our way to a financial crisis. You know, I used to teach the history of financial crises, and with that gigantic government spending, it was unsustainable. You look back in 1998, you look back in 07, right before it looked great, that everything collapsed. So, I mean, it looked great right before everything collapsed. So we have taken us off that trajectory, and we are putting ourselves back onto a sound trajectory.
You said 10% over 10 years would be $2.5 trillion coming in. You know, you look at this list of all these countries, and there's some policy decisions here. China is at 34%, added to the 20% already, so that's 54% on Chinese goods.
Yep.
Are they going to come back with something big?
Well, we'll see what they do. Is my advice to every country right now is do not retaliate. Sit back. Take it in. Let's see how it goes, because if you retaliate, there will be escalation. If you don't retaliate, this is the high watermark.
Sit back and take it.
Yes. That's how you run. That's how you run things. You know, I saw a lot of people last night when the tariffs were officially released. I don't know if you noticed this, Sean or Anna, on X. There were people saying that Trump went light on a lot of these nations. And
I'll tell you what I think that is.
There's another guy involved, and I forget his name. It's Scott Bessent, there's somebody else, and then there's Howard Lutnick. And I referenced this yesterday. The New York Post wrote about it, and Politico, and it was the same theme, that Lutnick has kind of worn out his welcome. He's got half-baked ideas, yet Scott Bessent is more measured and calculated with tariffs. And there's another person, I'm drawing a blank on the guy's name, and he's also more moderate as far as, hey, let's not go overboard. My guess is that there's a lot of smart people that got in Trump's ears and said, maybe let's bring it down a little bit so we don't do anything too reckless while still making our point and imposing our will on other nations. That was my takeaway from last night. But your thoughts?
Well, I think he started at this point here with, you know, basically going half of what they've been tariffing us, because if these other countries decide that they want to play ball, Donald Trump has room, you know, has room below the ceiling that he can still increase our tariffs. That's what I think it is. I think, okay, Europe is tariffing us at 40. We're going to tariff them at 20. If Europe wants to then say, oh, well, we're going to put more tariffs, you go, okay, well, now we're going to tariff you at 30, right? So he didn't start at 100%, so he's got room to continue to tack on. That's what I think it is. I think it's a negotiation. I think he's created a baseline to say, look, this is the best it's going to be for you. If you try anything, we're going to go even higher. You didn't start at 100%, because then people could say, oh, well, you know, that's not fair. You're going above their number, right? So I think he's starting here to basically say, look, this is us being nice. That's why on the chart it says discounted tariffs.
So yeah, did you see that?
Everyone know that you're getting a deal, okay? So I think that's what he's trying to do. I think he's positioning himself for if anybody tries to retaliate against these things, he's got more room to run up, is what I think.
Yep. 855-839-1210. Before we continue with the cut sheet, Charlie in Philly has some thoughts on Trump and the tariffs. Charlie, you go right ahead.
I think it's about time that somebody started taking care of America and these tariffs. I remember under Ronald Reagan back in the 80s, he was preaching free trade, and it was like $20,000 to buy a Chevy in Japan and $5,000 to buy a Toyota here or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it totally turned the auto industry around and put it in the court of Japan. And that's when the auto industry of Japan took off. And they did the same thing with electronics. You don't see Zenith TVs or RCAs or anything around anymore. They destroyed our whole electronics industry.
Well, that's a throwback.
I mean, I don't know why,
RCA.
But there's people in this country that have done things to destroy this country and to destroy the working, the blue collar working class in this country. We used to have it made.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable. Nobody's mother even had to work. It was ridiculous. Moms were stay home moms, and the taxes weren't like they were. I mean, they totally destroyed the middle class. It's just ridiculous. And
yeah, it's
I don't
the
know
one,
why.
It's the 1%.
Trump and they're doing something.
Yeah, it's the 1% and everybody else. It's the reallocation and the redistribution of wealth. I mean, you know that Trump is obviously a guy that, you know, models himself with his MAGA agenda, very similar to Ronald Reagan, American exceptionalism in the 80s. I love the fact that he brought up Zenith and RCA. But, you know, the other thing, too, with these tariffs is when you look at what he's trying to do, he's trying to just set the stage not only for a financial economic comeback, but that we're not going to be. How can we be as badass of a nation as we are, yet we continue to have the wrong end of the deal? And you talk about Reagan. Trump, I played you the clip in The Big Take. That clip of Trump talking about bad business deals with Japan, that was from 1995 on, I believe, the Charlie Rose program. I actually saw a clip earlier this morning where Trump was talking to Oprah in 1990. I mean, think about that. That's 35 years ago. Anna Hummel, were you even born then?
Oh, my God. I'm so flattered that you asked. Unfortunately, yes, I was around.
Okay. I mean, I was 6 years old at the time.
Yeah.
And my whole crux of The Big Take this morning was Trump really hasn't changed. He's been saying the same things for 35, 40 years. Right. The only thing that's changed is the Democrat Party and the Republican Party, Sean, with political realignment. And Trump went from being a D to an R. And the Democrats went from being left to left of the Pacific Ocean. That's what's changed.
That's all it was.
Yeah.
That's all it was. No, I love the fact that Charlie in Philly just brought up, you know, how this has devastated American businesses, devastated American families. It's forced mothers out of the home, forced them to go get a job. You know, one of the most simple tariff explanations that I saw, you know, I was just kind of Googling things yesterday, or as Eric Adams would say, you're going to Google that. You have this, the British-made cloth costs $4 a roll. An American-made cloth costs $4 a roll. 25% tariff is added to the price of the British cloth. So now that British cloth is now going to be sold, you know, in the United States at $5 a roll. And like, well, that doesn't sound good. Well, it does, because now the whole incentive to buying foreign-made goods was that it was priced at a more attractive price point. Now we're leveling the playing field here in the United States. There's less motivation to buy that stuff that says made in China. So as a result of that, you're going to be patronizing and supporting American businesses, American made products. It's going to result in more jobs being here within our own borders. You're also going to incentivize companies to avoid those tariffs, to avoid losing market share and avoid people, you know, leaving. The, you know, Hyundai, for example, just announced billions of dollars in investments in our country, including a new steel mill in Louisiana. Honda did the same thing. Rolls-Royce did the same thing. Prepac, which is a Canadian furniture company, is announcing a massive manufacturing operation in North Carolina, you know, so to avoid the tariffs. That's what we want. But it's going to take years to actually feel those positive results, but there will be positive results. People will be put to work. Raw materials are going to have to be sourced here now at a higher rate than they were before these tariffs went in place. I mean, these are all good things that we should be happy about.
I have to throw a flag down, and this might not be true. I'm reading on the YouTube chat right now, Dr. Phelan McGroin.
Oh, I love Phil.
Yeah.
Oh, we love him.
Yeah. He throws a red flag down. Sean, you had no idea who Val Kilmer was?
Oh, I had no clue. None. Not a single.
Wow.
I heard that he died yesterday, and I was like, who dat? You know?
Oh, my God.
And I posted that on X, and people are very upset with me. You know, they're like,
hey,
I
appreciate the honesty, brother. I've had a few movies. I never saw what was the show that I got criticized for never seeing?
He never saw All in the Family.
All in the Family.
So he didn't know who Meathead was.
I can't believe that, right? You know, so I had no idea. I saw R.I.P. Val Kilmer, and I saw a picture of him in like a military uniform. I guess that was one of his Top Gun scenes or something.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, what war did he fight? I saw Top Gun once. I was like maybe 11 years old.
And it didn't leave an impression on you.
I actually forgot how the movie, like what happened. I know Tom Cruise was in it. Like, you know, it's and I know the theme song, Joe Satriani and Van Halen, you know, they played the theme song. Top Gun, great theme song.
Hey, by
I
the
have
way,
not seen, someone's like, you haven't seen Tombstone? I was like, no.
Yeah, I know. All these Siskel and Eberts on social media, they come out of the woodwork. Real quick, you mentioned Eric Adams. There's news this morning that Eric Adams is officially no longer a Democrat. And as he runs for re-election, he is now running as an independent.
Okay.
Just wanted to pass that along to the audience.
Okay.
Huh. Of course he is. Eric, I'll tell you what. The day you believe Eric Adams, give me a call. I got a bridge to say.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Please.
He's full of...
I have so much experience. Listen.
He's full of goo-goo.
He's full of more than goo-goo, okay? Like, it's real. You could goo-goo that. No, listen, okay? I mean, in 2021, I was campaigning for Curtis Sliwa. We were trying hard. We knew it was going to be tough. But this Eric Adams guy is such a fraud. You know, he's cozying up to the people in power because they're in power. If Kamala Harris was president and Eric Adams hadn't opened his mouth about the border, he would still be a radical leftist. Yeah. He's a racist and a radical leftist. The guy, I don't care. Oh, he held up Cash Patel's book. That's wonderful. Okay. He's eating dinner with Rudy Giuliani. Great. Okay. If you believe Eric Adams, okay, if you give me your email address, I'm going to pose as a Nigerian prince and I want all your banking.
Hat tip to Road Warrior for sending me this because, you know, we take your requests.
Mm-hmm.
The cut sheet always takes your requests. If you want to, if you have anything, you can either tweet me or email me at greg.stocker@odyssey.com. I did see this, but I forgot to put it on the cut sheet. So it was put on this morning, very early this morning. Education Secretary Linda McMahon crashed the Democrat press conference.
I saw this.
I love this.
This is WWE-esque.
More of this, please.
Yes. Crashed the party.
Yeah. The cage.
She should have shown up in a tank wearing military gear like DX did in the 90s.
That's right. Right. Did she come out with a theme song?
She should have.
That would have been awesome.
Cut 28, Phil. Go.
Long a corporate model without a plan and without an effort to really protect our students.
There she comes.
So we want to be clear about that. I want to say one other thing. The mood in the room, it was very collegial. We are extraordinarily grateful to the secretary that she joined us. Thank you. She's here. Perhaps I should give her the podium. We're extraordinarily grateful.
They don't know what to do.
Gave us the space to have these conversations. But with all due respect, madam, I think my biggest concern
she's
is
nervous.
That the states will not be able to...
Oh, damn it, to McMahon.
Linda McMahon's not nervous at all.
No.
They should have hit Stone Cold's music.
I mean, Linda McMahon's been hit with a Stone Cold stunner.
Everyone, thanks so much for coming. And I just want to express my gratitude to all of these folks who came today so that we could have an open discussion about what I believe is one of the most important things
they are
that
not happy
have
she's
a
there.
Discussion on
they
action on our
happy.
Country, and that is the education of our young people. As Representative Tanako said as we were ending the meeting, which I thought was incredibly appropriate, and that is that this is not a partisan issue. This is about the children of America, and it's the next generation, the generation after that. And if we want to have our leaders, if we want to have that next
group
of engineers
and
doctors and lawyers and plumbers and electricians and HVAC operators, then we need to focus on how they can best have their education. And I believe, and I know the president does believe this as well, the best education is that is closest to the child, where teachers and parents, local superintendents working together and local school boards to develop the curriculum for those students is the best way that it can happen.
And you have your beady eyes locked on the beady eyes of the world's toughest son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Anna, if Linda McMahon can live with Vince McMahon and be married to him for half a century, she can handle any teacher or any teacher's union aide or representative in the Department of Education. I love when a lady comes out and just basically flexes and shuts down an entire presentation. Your thoughts on that? And also because you live in a state with school choice with Ron DeSantis as governor.
Yeah, and to be fair, like, I don't follow that too much in Florida because I myself do not have children, but I did appreciate her just showing up like that. And what was the woman's name who was on the podium prior to that? But she was palpably nervous.
She was.
When
the woman showed up.
So
I respectfully disagree.
Yeah, I definitely appreciated that flex. So
Sean Farish, you know you're a badass when you say, you know what, the goal as I take over as Secretary of Education for the Department of Education is to shut down the Department
That's
of
right.
Education. My job is to make myself extinct professionally and be out of a job myself.
That's it. I love everything Linda McMahon's doing. She was in the first administration too. She played a role in the first administration too. Trump and her have a good relationship. You know, I'm in the WWE Hall of Fame.
He is.
You know that. I put the Undertaker underground. You know that. He's. We put him under 6 feet under, right? We put him 6 feet. And, you know, we did very well with that. I would have loved to have seen, you know, maybe RKO come out of nowhere. And woman behind the podium, just take her out. Yeah. You know,
just three,
oh, my God.
Just
RKO.
Just three wrestling nerds sitting here talking.
Sorry, Anna.
I'm a little lost. I'm trying to follow along.
We're nerding out here in the late wrestling era.
So Undertaker is a wrestler, through the podium.
Yeah. We would be if the four of us were in wrestling, we would be called a faction.
Yes, we would be a faction.
Jasmine Crockett admits she was only hired because she was black, which sounds to me like a DEI hire. Somebody didn't ask her this.
At least she knows.
She voluntarily said this. This is the most stunning clip I've ever seen.
So this is the first thing she said correctly in a year.
She admits that she was a DEI hire. She had no experience. What? Listen to this. We're going to play this and then play it again because I couldn't believe my ears when I heard this. Roll this.
Strap in because the eyelashes might blow you away.
Start it over.
Say because you've been gracious. Is this. When I first became a public defender, I had no criminal defense experience. And I walked in and I told my boss, Charlie, I said, listen, you should hire me. He said, why? I said, because I'm black. Charlie looked at me like I was crazy.
What?
So was Charlie back?
Charlie's like, all right, girl, you got the job.
Right.
You used to be in the civil litigation arena. You want to be a public defender and make 52 grand a year and walk people to the death penalty? Be my guest.
I had no experience. You should hire me because I'm black. Roll that one more time.
Yeah, please. I saw this yesterday.
Be gracious. Is this. When I first became a public defender, I had no criminal defense experience. And I walked in and I told my boss, Charlie, I said, listen, you should hire
Charlie?
Me. He said, why? I said, because I'm black. Charlie looked at me like I was crazy.
So, for me...
And Charlie took me to the chocolate factory.
With Willy Wonka.
And a golden ticket. We love those golden tickets, by the way.
To me, with DEI, here's my three things. Number one, it's the complete opposite of meritocracy. I'm a believer in merit. You hire anybody under the sun if that person is the best for the job. Doesn't matter if they're white, black, gay, straight. It doesn't matter to me as long as you're a legal citizen. If you make my bottom line better, I'm hiring you. You could be a one-legged transgender individual with purple hair and a nose ring, but if I own a fast food restaurant, a local mom and pop shop, and you are the best burger maestro out there that can make me the best exquisite burgers in town, and I can charge $16.95 for a burger, I'm hiring you. Number two, DEI is actually everything that it claims. It's everything that they're trying to fight against. Well, it's discriminatory. You automatically are committing affirmative action violations of other people's rights by automatically excluding certain people. And I always defend the Asian individuals that get rejected by those absurd Ivy League schools. You have Asian boys and girls, 1590 SATs, 4.5 GPAs, 16 extracurriculars. They're everything you want for a college student. You say, you know what? I'm going to have to pass on the Asian person because I need to admit somebody that's either black or Latino to fill a quota. That's absurd. And then lastly, I don't know how you guys feel. I would never want to know that I was hired based on my race or gender. Like, if Greg Stocker said, I'm hiring you because I need a bald guy with a beard, I would say, wait a minute, am I not the best candidate for the job? No, we ought to see once more bearded bald guys.
No, I don't know. Actually need less balded beard guys.
I don't know that I would take the job. It's offensive to me.
Yeah, I used to have moral qualms with that. I no longer do. Just take the job. Just take the job. I don't care. Give me the money. Give me the job. Doesn't matter. Oh, you're hired because you were a woman. Well, not a Jew anymore. That used to be like a cool thing, you know, back in beginning of 2023. But yeah, whatever it is, just
take
it and run. Nothing's fair. Life isn't fair. If you get the opportunity, even if it's because you're a race, gender, whatever. Yeah, it's not fair, but I don't know. I operate on planet Earth, and I've just accepted that that is the way things are.
Yep. So. You were born a Jewish female, and nothing's ever going to change that.
Right, exactly. Yeah. In Israel, too. So I got that.
Oh. Which,
yeah. I used to be like a minority. Now I'm a white Zionist colonizer. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Animal beast. Yeah. Yeah, so
cool.
It's mm-hmm. interesting.
Sean, your thoughts on this Crockett revelation?
Well, this is one of the dumbest people, I think. But every time she opens her mouth, it's always gold. It's just great.
It is.
It's like she cuts campaign ads for us every time she talks. We've been saying what she said about DEI for the last, I don't know how many years. We're like, no, you're hiring people because they're black. They're like, no. And then she's like, yeah, I'm black. And that's why I got hired. That's why I demanded to be hired. And some guy on X yesterday was like, well, you don't understand because you're white and you've never. I'm like, just tell me how skin color is a qualifier for a job. And then he posts a picture of Pete Hegseth. And I'm like, that's Pete Hegseth. Now tell me how skin color, like, to tell me how it's a, because if it's a qualifier, if it's a, it's also a disqualifier,
yeah.
Right? Like, you have to understand, if you have too many black people hired and you hit your black quota, other qualified black people don't get jobs too, because they got to fill
yep.
Latinx quotas or Asian quotas or trans quotas or whatever, right? So, like, if it's a qualifier, it's also a disqualifier. Like, Ketanji Brown Jackson was hired as a Supreme Court, or hired, appointed as a Supreme Court justice because she's a black female. Joe Biden said, I'm going to pick a black
yep.
female, which yep. means mm-hmm. every other person who was qualified for that role before even interviewing was out. That's yep. not fair. In what world is that fair? I hate this DEI stuff. And we've been saying for a while that this is what it was, and everyone denied it. And then Jasmine Crockett yesterday was like, no, I demanded to be hired because I was black, and then I got hired. And I was like, okay, well, thanks for telling the truth. This is the first time for everything. It's just, it's bizarre. It's bizarre. It's racist.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
We should take a break and then come back. I have, by the way, if you're watching on YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHD, please hit the like and subscribe buttons while you are there. Spirit Airlines. Had for some reason women make have mental breakdowns on Spirit Airlines and take their clothes off. I have no idea why. This is a Florida story, Anna, so this is right up your alley.
Why do you think I fly
Spirit on the way, yeah, on the way
yes
that's what I fly.
This woman has a mental breakdown, I believe, and strips naked in the on a boarding a Spirit Airline flight. Mm-hmm. We will have that video plus a ton more.
Yes.
On the other side.
If you want to fly with Drek,
yeah.
you fly Spirit, Allegiant, or Frontier. They're basically the three Bobo airlines,
sorry.
And you get what you pay for.
Sorry.
Gale and Company, we continue after this, but first, a word from our friends at Natural Lawn of America. Not Bobo at all, because it's my lawn care company. That's why I chose Natural Lawn of America, because they have a company that will provide you better results, but simultaneously making sure that it's safer for your family and your pets. At Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without the harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting your friends, family, and loved ones, including those pets. From organic fertilizers to safer weed and insect controls, they make sure that your lawn thrives naturally season after season. Join the growing number of homeowners switching to Natural Lawn Safer Services and start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn that you can be proud of. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program today, and you're going to get free seeding every year. If you want a greener, healthier lawn plus free seeding, call Natural Lawn today at 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Your lawn deserves the best, so call the best. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Whether you bought it for climate change, whether you bought it just because you thought it was a badass cool vehicle with cameras and the ability to drive itself, you know, Anna, I'll ask you, I'll start with you first because you are of Jewish descent. It bother you just, well, I mean, you brought
way to stereotype, Kale.
Yeah. Well, she, Anna self-described LA
I do. I self-identified.
Yes. Since, and you made reference to October of 2023. Does it bother you, and just on this front, the way we just, in this cavalier nature, just throw around the phrase Nazi and Hitler like it's just the run-of-the-mill terminology these days?
Yeah, if everyone is a Nazi, then no one is a Nazi, and you're kind of really watering down what it was. And listen, like, yeah, I might be Jewish, but, like, I didn't live through the Holocaust. But there were people who did, and I feel like to kind of respect them and their memory, we need to make sure that we are defining these terms properly. And everyone that just doesn't agree with you and your crazy woke agenda isn't a Nazi.
Well, the thing that's so infuriating, right. Though, Sean, is we have Donald Trump, Elon Musk, Republican Party that are defending Israel, yet that lady's probably pro-Gaza. Hamas has the same agenda that Hitler did, and she's telling a Trump supporter that they're a Nazi when she supports the group, the government, the terrorist organization with the same end goal that the Nazis had.
Nick, that's your problem. You're trying to make sense of these things.
I'm so tired of being right. It's making
no
my head
sense.
Hurt.
Yeah.
There's no logic. That's just what she's been told to think, right? Rachel Maddow told her that Trump supporters were Nazis. So they're Nazis. That's it. That's all that a woman like that needs. It's just, here's what to say, right? She's nothing more than a teleprompter with a voice. You know, you're given a script and she says it. Yeah. And that's all it is. And that's really a lot of what the left has done. And to be fair, there are folks on the right who will do the same thing. They will wait to be told how to think. Yep. Right. I mean, I went through this last week. Right. On Wednesday or Tuesday of last week, nobody I knew liked Lindsey Graham. Now, because Donald Trump made an endorsement, Lindsey Graham's apparently very good. I mean, this to me, I was like, really? You know, Iowa last year, the same thing happened. People were like, Vivek is okay. Then he did the thing with the T-shirts and Trump slammed them. And they were like, we hate Vivek. Then Vivek dropped out and endorsed Trump and they liked him again. Mm-hmm. I'm like, who's taking you seriously if you're doing, you know, you're going back and forth more than a windshield wiper? Independent thought's important on both sides of the aisle. And I call it out every time.
Yep.
Because if you can't think for yourself, then what's the point of even thinking at all?
Right.
But this woman, it's worse. It is worse on the left. Because it's getting violent on the left.
I will say this, though, with the Tesla Cybertruck, I'm very happy with my Honda Ridgeline. But if Piazza ever decided to scoop up a Tesla dealership and put it into their umbrella and family of automobile manufacturers and companies, I said this on the show before. The Tesla Cybertruck is so ugly, I freaking love it.
Really?
Is anybody? I think I'm the lone wolf here. Anna, do you like the Cybertruck or no?
No, and people are making it uglier. I saw a lime green one yesterday. As if it wasn't obnoxious enough, people are putting these crazy wraps on it.
Well, that's the Grinch edition.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. Not a fan. You know, it looks like a Lego, but, you know, if you like it, you like it. I don't know.
Ferris, you're anti-Cybertruck? You don't like it?
It's not that I'm anti-Cybertruck. Like, I don't want an EV. That's my problem.
Yeah.
Like, I like my gas-powered vehicle. I like if I'm on a long road trip, I can stop at a gas station and 5 minutes be back on the road. Yeah. Yep. I mean, I know some of these cars charging like 20, but that's a lot of time.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely a gas guy, but I tell you what, if that thing ever came with gas fuel up, I'll tell you what, I'm in. I can't afford one anyway, but if it was affordable.
It's ugly too.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's so ugly. I like it. Like, there's certain sneakers out. There's certain things in fashion that you're like, God, that's ugly. But it's popular. I like it. I'm in.
By the way, this is. Have any of you guys ever heard of the social media influencer Nick Shirley? I've never heard of him.
Nick Shirley?
Yeah, no. So he did something that was hysterical. He went up to Trump or to anti Elon Musk supporters. This is cut nine, Phil. He went up to anti Elon Musk supporters who were standing outside of a Tesla dealership.
Okay.
And I think it says only Nazis want Musk. So listen to how he turned it around on by the way, these people are it's like two people. They're waving signs and they have masks on. So
you know where this is going.
Yeah. You know exactly where this is going. Exactly. Roll this.
How are you guys doing? What makes you guys want to come out here today in support of the fascism that's happening here in the United States?
Support the fascism?
Well, you say Elon Musk is a Nazi.
Did you see him do that?
Yeah. What are you doing right now, right?
That's a Nazi.
So
I'm not a Nazi. Only Nazis want Musk.
So you're not protesting because you want Elon Musk to be a Nazi?
Isn't this obvious?
Well, only Nazis want Musk. So kind of confused.
We're not Nazis.
Excuse me, Skippy.
Oh, you guys aren't Nazis.
Oh.
Why are you wearing eyeglasses? Why are you wearing sunglasses on a cloudy day and a KN95 mask outside? Mental health right there. Why don't you just carry a sign that says, I suffer from TDS, stage 5 won't be around much longer.
Unbelievable. It's amazing. I would have walked up to him playing the Imperial March. That's, I do that when I see people in the grocery store with the mask. Yeah. I start, bum, bum, bum. My wife's like, calm down. I'm like, they don't know. Or they might. And I hope they do. You know what? I hope someone starts...
And it's always though a white liberal mid to late 50s minimum up to late 60s. It's the boomer generation, right?
Yeah. It's not the boomers. It's older Gen X. I'm telling you, it's older Gen X.
I guess mathematically correct.
It's crazy to me because they were that older version of Gen X should actually be boomers because of their mindset. Like, if you're...
You don't claim them?
No.
Well, Dawn is still technically Gen X.
She is, yeah. She's in that generation, but right. No, she's not like these people.
No.
All right, this is amazing. This is in Arden Hills, Minnesota.
And for those wondering real quick, Gen X would be 1965 to 1980.
Yes. this woman, this mother, I believe is keying a Tesla... While her two daughters, who look about Nick's age, give the finger because they know they're being surveilled.
Her daughters look like me or my kid's age?
Her daughters look like your kid's age.
Okay, because if her daughters look like me, she's
age,
got some...
Like, why?
If her daughters look like Nick Kale, she's got some ugly daughters.
Roll this. You can see the video, Nick, if you want.
Yeah, that is my kids. There's me and Olivia.
So there's a cyber, a cyber truck.
Yep, there she goes.
They both give the finger.
Wow. Did she key it or was she just giving it the bird?
I'm not sure. Phil, can you rewind it? Yeah, she did something to it. Look at the mother.
Yeah.
YouTube.com/12Denny.
I don't want to look at the mother.
Kids go right ahead. Yeah, she goes there.
Oh, my Lord.
Yep.
Yeah. And they all know they're on camera, so and they're not even at least wear a mask or something.
Yeah, no.
Try to be a good criminal.
Yeah, I was just going to say. Like,
you're being lazy.
The brazenness of this is unbelievable.
Yeah, mom looks like she's got the nurse pants on, because you can see the little badge there. So she just got done working a shift, probably. She's pissed at the world.
I mean, not that I'm not against a good, middle finger from a child. It can be hysterical.
We grew up on the middle finger,
exactly.
Right?
But I mean, this is just you're teaching your kids to be a effing criminal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, keying a car. Does anybody? Honest question. I looked at my keychain.
I don't have one either.
A key?
No.
Does anybody actually have a key on their little?
It's
thing
all.
That they carry?
Yeah, I do. I'm like a janitor. I have a.
Yeah. Oh no, you're that guy.
Oh yeah.
Do you put them on your belt?
I hold on to them for sentimental purposes. Oh yeah. What?
Do you put them on your belt?
I don't keep them on my belt. No. But I have a massive.
Nice.
I have a bunch of the key to the house, the key to. Well, I don't know what the other keys are, but there's a lot of them.
Everything I have is a key fob. Now.
Yes, fobbed off.
I am fobbed off.
Fobbed off.
Thank you, Pierce.
I'll tell you what, Jeffrey Toobin fobbed off on the Zoom call.
He fogged off and he did the whole, he was so off gross. Across the board.
We call it honking your hedgehog. He was honking his hedgehog. It's terrible. You're not supposed
hairy
to do
balls.
That.
Thank you, Dana.
All right, so for those of you on YouTube, youtube.com/@1210WBHD, I'm not sure what's happening. What's happening on these airlines is the flight industry has become the bus station.
Yeah.
So anybody can get on and buy a ticket and go wherever they want to. This is no offense, Anna, but this took place in Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport. So I'm sure you're familiar with this airport. This Spirit Airlines passenger has a meltdown. She takes her clothes off during an argument at the airport. The woman was seen with minimal clothes on, yelling at someone before a police officer arrived and told her to put her shirt back on. Mm-hmm. The incident reportedly took place at the Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport. Gotta love Spirit. All right, we're gonna play this video if you wanna see this woman.
God, is there audio?
Yeah, but I have to. She curses a lot, so I have to make sure I'm playing it. Roll it. And look at them, man. Look at those big bloomers. She's wearing.
Holy cow.
She's down to her underwear.
Yeah. Oh. Why do you think she took her clothes? I mean, these people are just trying to get to their destination.
Don't do drugs.
Those are some big panties. Did she kill a cheetah?
It's a big booty.
It looks like she used like a contractor bag for her panties, you know?
Yeah. Jeez Louise.
One of those 60-gallon leaf bags, you know?
You know, when I get ready to board Spirit, Frontier, or Allegiant, I usually, to make my point, I strip.
Yeah.
And I
I would like to see the lead up to that stripping.
It's all Tiffany Gomez's fault, you know, because she started with that you know what is not real, the back of the plane. Now everybody wants to make a scene in the air.
It's Sean, you hit the nail on the head. That is, you're 100% correct.
You think this is trying to go viral for the sake of the trend?
I do. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
I think it's either entitlement or mental health.
This Illinois, I don't know if you guys saw this story, but this Illinois teacher, who, by the way, is super attractive, had sex or raped, because it's, you know, he's underage, a 15-year-old boy. Oh, and the police went to her house to arrest her for this. And I quote, "Are you arresting me because I'm good looking?" is what she said. She seemed to have no idea. Have you guys seen this story?
I get pulled over all the time by female cops for being a sex symbol.
Yeah, it's her mugshot has gone viral because she's, you know.
It's not as nice as my mugshot.
It's true.
Is this the one with the husband in the passenger
Mona Lisa
seat?
Mugshot. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, this is cut 22. I took this from Inside Edition. There was police body cam video, but you can't really tell too much from this. But this is the Inside Edition report on it. Roll this.
Cops pull over the 30-year-old driver of a gray Volkswagen, and she's in big trouble.
Step out of the car. I know you're confused. I'll explain everything to you.
30-year-old Christina Formella is with her husband, and neither has a clue what the heck's going on.
I don't understand what's going on here.
Yeah. You can go grab your things.
Can you come with me?
Yes.
Moments later, cops slap cuffs on her. But why? They're not saying much.
Once you get to the police department, you'll talk to the detective, and he'll explain everything to you.
In the back of the squad car, Christina smacks her lips as she tries to process the sudden turn of events in her life. Finally, the cops fill her in.
I'm feeling I'm going to throw up.
So what's the charge? The 30-year-old teacher allegedly carried on an affair with a 15-year-old student. Teen's mom says she discovered these lurid text messages on his cell phone. I love you so, so much, Mama. I love you so much, baby. Even though this morning was short, it was perfect. Wow. Christina Formella got married last year in Italy, months after the alleged tryst with the student had begun. The teacher is now on paid leave from Downers Grove South High School outside Chicago.
We are heartbroken for the victim and also for the hundreds of students, staff, and family who trusted this teacher and feel betrayed by this terrible situation.
She says she's done nothing wrong and is being framed and blackmailed by the student. Cops say she told them everybody comes after her because she's good looking.
She's a victim because she's hot.
I don't know if she's that good looking, she's attractive.
She's a Tampa 5.
Yeah, well, she's probably a Tampa 7.
She's a Portland 12.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The thing about this story, when I originally read it, it said that she was a special ed teacher.
Oh, boy.
And so then I was like, but then it said she was with a 15-year-old student. So I didn't know if it was one of her special ed students, which would add an additional, you know, curveball to the story. So I don't know if this was one of her students or just a student at the school.
30 years old, just married, goes on a honeymoon to Italy, and throws it all away to sleep with somebody half her age. I don't get it. I really don't. We always talk about these rape situations. I always think about, you know, Chris Hansen, To Catch a Predator. And it's usually the dude, right? The dude shows up thinking he's going to be able to sleep with an underage girl, and out comes Chris Hansen into the kitchen. Yeah. Sit down, buddy. Let's talk a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
This teacher stuff is bizarre.
Unbelievable.
And Sean, I try not to be prisoner of the moment and say it's an epidemic, but these stories, I mean, you could probably find one of them in the news every day if you look hard enough.
I think they're popping up more now. I hate to say it. I'm pretty sure a lot of this has been going on for a while, and it's been going on undetected. But now we are in the day and age of a digital footprint, where you have phones, you have text records, you have parents who will occasionally check in and see what their kid's doing on the phone. And now you see a text exchange with a teacher. And, you know, it's bad, though. And I mean, how could you not think you did? Now, unless she's completely and totally innocent, and this is literally a frame job, I mean, I guess we'll wait and see. But I have a feeling it's not. How could you think he didn't do something wrong here?
She said, you know? Her claim is that he stole her phone and texted himself or something. But why did they have each other's numbers to begin with?
Right.
That's number one. And then number two, like, she not once realized, hey, you, like, put in the text, you stole my phone. Like, at least,
yes,
you know. Or cover,
at least do what Mike Waltz does and use the Signal app, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Deleting messages, self-deleting. Maybe Jeffrey Goldberg will be in there.
Look, I don't want to, you know, because anything, this boy was underage if this happened. This boy was underage, so it's rape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But. 15-year-old, you know.
I feel like I know what you're saying. You're saying it's not as damaging to a 15-year-old boy as it is to a 15-year-old.
I
know that's a bad take.
But it is the take. And to be honest with you, Greg, I'm way more intrigued when it's like an older woman with a 15-year-old. Because here's the thing, like, as sick as it is, I can understand if some, like, teacher, male teacher is interested into a developed girl. She might be a minor, but she kind of looks like an adult. I'm not saying it's right, but I at least understand it. When it's a 30-year-old woman and a 15, like everything that like women typically like about men, they have resources or money or status. Like a 15-year-old boy has none of that stuff.
No. Nothing.
So what is it about that you makes you want to go after that kid is just so intriguing to me.
And just to clarify,
there's a term.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Pedophile.
Well, and to clarify.
Allegedly.
It's totally fine if the 15-year-old boy.
This is all alleged, by the way.
Yeah. If the 15-year-old boy wants to get with his teacher, that's totally acceptable.
By the way, that husband.
Oh, man.
If this is true, can you imagine how he feels?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Oh, God. And
oh,
by the way,
my goodness. Good point.
I saw a picture.
Imagine being her husband. Yeah.
I saw a picture.
You did what?
I saw a picture of him, like, with the two of them together. Like, he's this big, like, baseball player. Like, he's not a professional, but he's, like, this big dude. And I'm just like,
a burly guy.
Yeah, first of all, if I'm not 15-year-old, like, I'm like, what is happening here? You know what I mean? Like,
ego crusher.
What an ego crusher.
Cupped out by a 15-year-old player.
What's worse? Your wife leaving you for another woman? Or your wife sleeping with somebody underage or raping somebody underage.
I think the latter.
The latter.
Yeah. The latter, for sure.
Yeah. You know, we know that in the male juvenile or criminal justice system, if you rape or you do anything to a child, you're toast in the can. That's one thing you don't do. You're better off murdering your wife than raping a child. I'd love to know if we have anybody that works in the criminal justice system. Do female prisoners treat females that rape minor boys
the same way
as AKA death sentence?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah. We have a ton more, but we should get to that on the other side.
Yes, we will. Let me tell you about our friends, first of all, though, about Piazza Acura, the all-new 2025 Acura ADX. It is Piazza Acura's latest addition to their precision-crafted lineup. It is a premium compact SUV with a breakthrough in design, performance, and innovation, with all the style, the luxury, and the amenities that Acura traditionally will give you. Turbocharged engine, available all-wheel drive system, and cutting-edge technology. The Acura ADX is engineered for those who demand more. Best of all, now available at Piazza Acura of Ardmore, Reading, and Westchester. And crazy liberals, they won't key your Acura. With leases as low as $389 per month, you can visit PiazzaAcura.com for all the details and tell them Nick Kale sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brathen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brathen wherever you get your podcasts.